Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland, and thanks so much for joining us on this Friday at noon Central Time. Joining me in the studio right now is Christine Wood. She's the 4-H Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math Field Specialist. Welcome to Innovation, and thanks for being here, Christine.
Thanks for having me, Kara.
So let's talk a little bit about this competition, right, that you have been a part of. With teens answering questions through research, they get to make up their own question and problem to solve. Is that right?
That is correct. This is the first year that South Dakota 4-H has ran the 4-H Science of Agriculture program. And it's a program that we have adopted from the University of Minnesota Extension. And they've been running it for about 3 years. So the process has been implemented by them, and now we're trying to adapt it and bring it to our South Dakota youth. The project empowers youth to identify ag issues that they see as relevant in their communities. And they can define the community as, you know, their local town, their county, or the state, or even nationwide. And so they identify what they see as an ag issue. They are then required to do some research on it and do some background to see what other things might have been done to resolve these issues. And then we partner them with university faculty and industry professionals to help them solve the issues and develop a solution of some sort.
Okay, so how many teams did you have this year?
We started out with 10 to 15 teams, and throughout the year they've kind of started working on their project and maybe realized that it was going to take a little bit more time than they thought. So we had several teams drop. We only had two that were able to make it to the state competition. We did have it in May. So with the weather we've had this year, we had several that, you know, couldn't get out of school and things like that. But we have teams that, you know, they have a project started and they're ready to come back for this next year.
Okay. So they could use what they started and
yes,
continue on.
Yes.
So it's not just you have to do this in 9 months' time.
Right.
Okay. So some of the problems that they were trying to solve include what?
So we had a team that was very interested in how livestock production impacts wildlife habitat, specifically pheasants, because they are in an area of the state where pheasant hunting is a huge income for the community. And so they took a look at different ranchers and how they manage their livestock and their range and how that affects pheasant habitat. They worked with the Pheasants Forever chapter down in that area to learn a little bit about what pheasants need. Mm-hmm. And they did some comparison on rotational grazing and, you know, different things like that that impact that habitat. They were then going to, but hadn't had a chance to yet in May, because May is a little early, go through and do some pheasant counts and see how many nests they could find this spring and things like that, so they can continue that project on to really learn in depth what practices are good for pheasants, so that they can help farmers and ranchers better identify that and help improve the pheasant populations there.
And so can it be as simple as, you know, during this period of time, don't send your livestock into graze, keep them more back close to the barn?
One of the things that the youth had discovered through working with Pheasants Forever and their research was that, you know, the critical nesting time for pheasants is May through July. And so to make sure that habitat isn't disturbed, either with grazing or with, you know, cutting hay and things like that. And so their ideas were, you know, how do we ourselves learn more about this and then get back into the community and educate people about it.
And isn't that typically the time you do graze more and cut hay?
That's when we're letting that's when we're letting our cattle out to pasture.
Huh. So educating farmers and ranchers as to what best practices should be?
Right.
Huh. How will that go over, do you think?
I you know, that's something that the kids are going to have to do a little research on and see mm-hmm. what educational materials are out there and see how they're implemented and how different farmers and ranchers are taking that information and utilizing it. And for the ones that aren't, why aren't they doing that?
Okay. Okay. And are the kids totally engaged in continuing this on?
I think it's a mix on the kids. You know, some of them are much more interested in the topic than others. And I think you're going to find that, you know, in any project, if they have an interest in it, they're going to keep wanting to learn more. But they might get to a point where, you know, they've learned as much as they want, and now they want to learn about something else too.
Okay, so a different group can form and come up with a different project. Okay, and so some other topics that were addressed?
We had another team that was very intrigued by E. coli and how E. coli can contaminate food and the issues that are caused by E. coli. Granted, this was before the big outbreaks this spring because they started this last fall, but they really wanted to learn about how their farming practices could impact E. coli in the food industry. And so they grow up on a sheep ranch, and so they were looking specifically at their herds and wanting to know, you know, when we send sheep to slaughter, how is that E. coli being prevented from contaminating the meat of the sheep as well as other foods? And so one of the things they wanted to explore was how feed curfews prior to slaughter affected the presence of E. coli at slaughter. And so they took fecal samples after feed curfews to kind of see how that affected the presence of E. coli.
Okay, so for somebody like me, I don't know what a feed curfew is.
So a feed curfew is restraining the feed from the livestock prior to being slaughtered.
So they don't eat before they...
Yep, so okay. So a 24 to 36 hour curfew where they're provided water and things like that, but they're not necessarily allowed to have grains or other foods that might be contaminated with fecal matter and things like that.
And what did they learn?
So they learned that by reducing how close to slaughter this, or how close to the sampling, because they didn't actually slaughter their animals, that they received feed, there was less fecal matter present because they've been, had a chance to flush out their systems. And they were also able to do some additional research to learn how that might in fact impact other species. And so they are actually wanting to continue the study to see how it affects some of their cattle as well as some of their chickens and things like that to kind of see what it varies from species to species.
And so this is a project that's going to continue on. And these aren't typically things that are already being studied in by other researchers or...
Well, I think they are to a certain degree, but the kids aren't necessarily aware of that. And so that is part of their discovery, you know. They find out that they have this idea for a project and they want to research this topic. Well, part of their research is to see what else has been done. So, you know, they might not be researching something that is really brand new and innovative, but to them it's something they know nothing about. And so by doing that, they are learning about research projects that are going on at the university level, at the industry level. And through that, they're also learning about potential careers and things that they can do and apply in their own practices.
And how then does STEM come into play in all of this?
So the students are applying the research processes, but they're really, the project is really focused on the engineering practices. So they're learning how to form questions. They're learning how to identify what the issue actually is. So, you know, they might say, you know, E. coli is an issue, but why is E. coli an issue? What causes that E. coli? And so they really have to learn how to define those questions so they really get down to the root of what the problem is. And then they get into that inquiry where they start doing some research and figuring out, you know, how can we work together to solve this issue? Is it a matter of educating people so that they know best practices? Or say they have another topic that they're doing and maybe they need to actually design a prototype to make something a little bit easier for them.
And was there one more project?
So we had another team that was not able to make it to the state meeting, our state competition this year. And they were a group of sixth grade boys. They're fairly young, but they're really excited about what they're doing. And they realized, they all grew up on a livestock farm, that livestock operations are getting larger and larger. And so it's really hard for individuals to go out and walk through their cattle every day. And so they noticed that it's impacting the disposition of the cattle. The cattle aren't so used to people, and so they're a little bit more spooky and things like that. And so that's what they saw as an issue, and they wanted to find a way to address that. I don't think they were able to actually finish their prototypes, but their idea of a solution was to develop a, for lack of better terms, a scarecrow system that would basically have something, whether it was roboticized or not, walk through or move through the cattle so that they would be used to that movement and that shape coming and walking through them. And so I really hope that they come back next fall. I know they had some stuff come up with their team and weren't able to come in May, but if they finish that project, I'd be really excited to see where it goes.
Okay, so age level in the kids who were involved?
So the program is open for from 6th to 8th, or 6th to 12th grade.
Okay.
And so middle school and high school students.
Okay, and this was the first year, right?
That correct. You've done this is the first year that South Dakota has done this program.
Okay, and what about it really grabbed you as an educator to say, we need to bring this to the state?
The thing that I love about this program is it incorporates so many different things that are goals for South Dakota 4-H. We want to focus on that workforce development. We want to develop soft skills within our kids as far as critical thinking, communication, and teamwork. But we also want to build science literacy. And we want to build ag literacy. And so for those three goals, this program helps us meet those. And we're also targeting an older age group. So we have our sixth grade through our high school. And those audiences are often harder for us to get, you know, attention. And so this program focuses on them and developing their workforce and college and career readiness, as well as their literacy.
And we have to say which program, which team won?
So our Spink and Hand County team that was researching the E. coli was our okay. top score.
And it was all girls?
It was all girls, and they were the 6th through freshmen, so 6th through 9th grade.
Oh, young.
Yes. Okay. So they'll probably be back next year with new ideas and new topics.
So can they add on to what yes. they already did so they can build on what they've
yep.
done?
So throughout the year, they are working with a coach who is a registered 4-H volunteer. That coach could be their science teacher. It could be their ag education teacher. Or in some of our cases, it's a mom or a dad. And so those coaches are working with them. And then throughout the year, I have one-on-one calls with those coaches just to kind of see, hey, what's going on? What do you need from the 4-H program? Do you need help getting in contact with industry or university professionals to help your kids? And so through that process, we kind of monitor how the kids are getting along in their projects and if they're making progress or if they've kind of stalled out. And so as long as we can see that from year one to year two, they've made progress, they can definitely bring those projects back and continue to add on to them.
And then what benefits do they receive? They receive a cash prize.
Correct.
Right?
So the top scoring team, each individual gets a $1,000 scholarship. And that scholarship will sit at the SDSU Foundation until they graduate from high school. And then depending on where they decide to go to school, whether it's a 2-year college or a 4-year college, they basically fill out a form that says this is where we're enrolled. And then that money gets transferred to wherever they're going to school.
Okay. But they get access to people in the industry as well.
Right, right. So a big piece of this program is there's a community development piece. They're learning about careers in their community and ways that they can help their community. So, for example, the team that was working with Pheasants Forever learned about all these different opportunities for working with wildlife and where they could potentially, you know, go after high school. The girls that were working with E. coli learned about, you know, the veterinary side of things as well as some of the meat science things. And so they're seeing these opportunities for jobs once they're out of high school. And for a lot of kids in South Dakota, you know, if you ask them about agriculture, they see production ag, which production ag is awesome, but that's not all what agriculture is. And so with this program, we're hoping that we build an awareness of the different ag careers and the careers that are related to ag.
And your hopes for the next year?
My hope for the next year is that we continue to grow and we spread the word about this awesome opportunity, and our kids just continue to get new ideas, and they kind of, you know, they'll learn faster than we will. And so some of the things that they come up with and think about are very unique. And so it's interesting to see where they'll go.
And technology, they can incorporate any kind of technology into what they propose as a solution?
Right. So to give them a little bit of guidance on what they might choose as a topic, we use the Ag Foundation's Pillars of Ag Literacy. And so those pillars help the kids focus what their topic might be. So those pillars include agriculture and the environment. So they might have an environmental science. Ag, food, fiber, and energy. So they might be talking about clothing or food access or where our energy is and how that impacts or how agriculture impacts it. Agriculture and animals. Agriculture and lifestyle, which might just be food security or the cost of food. Ag and technology is a pillar in itself because our agriculture system wouldn't be where it is right now if it weren't for technology. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of different things for them to explore in that realm as well. Mm-hmm. And then ag and the economy and understanding how our economy is related to agriculture.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds exciting, and I look forward to following this year over year with you.
Thank you so much.